This Easter season, we're offering a special downloadable resource that will inspire you and deepen your faith. He Is Risen is a digital booklet featuring powerful articles from The Stand and AFA Journal that explore the life-changing truth of the resurrection, the significance of Easter, and how to share these foundational truths with others. For a limited time only, it's our gift to you for any donation of $5 or more. Help us continue to share biblical truth, defend Christian values, and equip our families. Visit afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Wednesday, April the 16th, 2025. Thanks for listening to AFR. We always thank you for doing that, and we appreciate you listening and supporting us. Good morning, Ed Battagliano.
Good morning, Tim.
And Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
And completing the panel is Fred Jackson. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim.
All right. We're all ready to go, are we?
I'm ready.
We're fired up.
I was
fired
born ready.
You're born ready?
I was born ready.
Y'all remember the commercial Hump Day?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you believe that was? Yeah. Can you believe that was almost going on 9 years ago?
Really?
It feels like it was just the other day. I know we got
hump
away.
Day.
Yeah. Remember the commercial?
Yeah, I remember the commercial.
It was 2013.
What was it? Oh, was that was the camel? Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
What were they advertising?
It was the Geico commercial.
Geico.
Yeah, Geico.
What are their Geico commercials?
Yeah, you know, the reason it's being Wednesday,
yeah,
I think about hump day, and I just, you know, that was a thing for a long time, and now it's here.
You know, Wesley, this is a sad moment for you.
Yeah.
Because you're getting old enough to where you start thinking about those kind of things where you go, wow, that was that long ago.
That's it.
Uh-huh. That used to be a real thing. Now none of the young people around me even know what I mean when I say hump day.
I remember that ad now that you mentioned it.
It's Wednesday.
All right. I wanted to mention before we jump into the news of the day, and it's all good, people. You don't worry about
it. All good news.
We're going to bring you all the good news around the world.
That's right. And thanks for joining us, folks.
And
our show is over.
That was the good news, right?
Our show is over.
5 seconds of nothing.
Yeah.
Hey, we do have good news this weekend, Resurrection Sunday.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not going to argue with you there.
Yep.
That's true, Wes. You did spiritualize it pretty quick.
Yep.
You did.
I was helping.
Threw that trump card
were helping.
Down.
Okay. You were helping.
Ace of spades went right down on you.
No, well, Ed and I were joking around, but you quickly brought us back to reality. This is Holy Week. We talked about it yesterday.
Right.
It's Holy Week for Christians. So we will celebrate Easter. We celebrated Palm Sunday, celebrate Easter and Good Friday and the whole
invite someone to church this week.
It's interesting that both the Eastern Christians and the Western Christians, it is Good Friday and Easter same time this year.
Yeah.
There's a little bit different ways in which, according to the moon and the equinox. And
the incense.
The Eastern
Christians, they believe in the incense more than we do, I think.
Yes, in their defense, that the reason they do that, a lot of people don't know, is because it says in Revelation chapter 4 or 5, talking about the incense of the prayers of the people being like incense before the throne of God. So that's
symbolic.
It's symbolic.
That's really where it comes from?
Yes.
I never knew that. I just thought they liked the funky smells in their church. Okay.
Well, they may like the smells too. Okay. But that's where it comes from.
Okay. Well, that's
representative of
that's good to know. I'm glad I know that.
Little taste of Trivia Friday.
Yeah. Little taste. So
right.
Anyway,
a little smell. Little smell of Trivia Friday. Yeah. Does that work?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's I never knew that. I've seen plenty of Greek Orthodox churches.
Yeah.
And when you go in, there's always that it hits you in the face.
Oh yeah.
The incense, the candles, the ornaments, and everything like
that. Icons.
The icons. You're an icon, Ed. But
different.
I haven't seen you in a church yet, but anyway. All right.
Oh, you're never going to see me, St. Edward.
St. Edward's upon a talk.
Yes. Nobody pray to me, please.
Don't do it.
All right. Before we get into the news, I wanted to mention that the tours we got coming up in especially next March. We've got two tours. We got the Footsteps of Paul, which is a lot of Greece, and you can check that out. That's the Footsteps of Paul tour that Wesley Wildman and Walker Wildman are leading. And then
that's a lot of Greece. You're not talking about the food.
No.
You're talking about the country.
That's right. That's right. And that's right. They're going to Greece.
Yeah.
And they're going to follow the footsteps of Paul. That's in March. And then we're also going to the Holy Land in March of next year. Again, 2026. Going to the Holy Land in March. We've already got people signing up. That'll be Allison, me, and also Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, and their wives are going.
That sounds like a great tour.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of the Footsteps of Paul, a tour, doing that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be the first time we do it, and Walker and I will be
leading
that one. Yep.
That's next March, too. So here's the situation. If you want to go on both of them, you can. Now, you'll be going from home like 20 days or something like that.
Right.
But you can do it because we've arranged for a flight after we finish the Holy Land trip.
Right.
We've arranged for a flight from Israel to Greece, about an hour and a half, 2 hours probably, maybe 2 hour flight, maybe a little bit longer. But anyway, so then the people can pick up with Wesley and Walker in Greece and start touring.
And the itinerary for both trips are on our website.
Yeah. So the cost, the itinerary, the dates, everything is available at wildmangroup.com, right?
That's right, Wildman Group.
W-I-L-D-M-O-N group.com. You can read all about it, wildmangroup.com. But we wanted to go ahead and announce that. But Alex and Bert, are going with us to Israel. So we look forward to that. All right. Let's see. Fred, what's leading the news there today?
Well, to do those trips, you have to fly across the Atlantic, right?
You do. That's right.
So we're going to fly across the Atlantic for our first story this morning. And it's a positive one.
All right.
To beat.
I like that.
In the UK, the United Kingdom, we have the U.S. Supreme Court here. They have the UK Supreme Court. Huge decision this morning. The UK Supreme Court, and we have this story at AFN.net, upholds the traditional definition of who qualifies to be a woman. It was a unanimous decision, folks. And basically, the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom ruled Wednesday that the UK Equalities Law defines a woman as someone born biologically female, rejecting the Scottish government's argument that it includes men who claim to be women. Now, here's Ed and I were talking about this before we went on air. Here's the interesting thing. Who led the fight for women that generated this decision? It was feminist groups. Contrast that here to the United States. Feminist groups have been largely quiet when it comes to upholding female sports. They're not saying anything. My speculation is the feminist groups in this country are so tied to the Democratic Party that they are not willing to stand up for women. But this is an incredible decision. If you go to our story on AFN.net, you will see I think she's a member of one of the feminist groups, and she's holding up a sign that says, "Fact is not hate. I will not call the man who raped me she, Your Honor." So there it is, folks. And this shocks me. The UK, most people think Europe, UK, have been going far farther and farther to the left.
That's what I was thinking.
This is an incredible decision, unanimous decision from the UK Supreme Court.
And I think the reason, part of the reason at least, for this decision by the UK Supreme Court is that feminist groups have taken the lead in demanding that women be protected, even from men who claim to be women. And this gives political cover to politicians and to judges who want to rule based on sanity, but who are too afraid of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
Having feminists take the lead, I think, gives them political cover. And I think that's why you don't see as much, like on the Democratic Party side, you don't see as much sanity on this issue because feminists are largely silent.
Yeah.
because nobody here wants to be called anti-LGBTQ, okay? But if they can say, listen, we're just protecting the feminists in this country, want to protect women, and we want to, I think you get more traction.
Probably going to get a big shout out from or cheer from, Harry Potter?
Oh, J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling.
Yes.
She's been on this for a while.
Yes.
On the right side of this. And Martina Navratilova, the former tennis great.
Right.
Who herself is she's a lesbian. But she's standing up on this issue, too.
The T issue,
The T issue. That's right. So, well, that is surprising, Fred. I thought, you know, like you said, mm-hmm. the whole of Europe, really. Well, not all of Eastern Europe, but much of Western Europe has been going
very much so.
Very far left on these issues.
And it was a unanimous ruling, you said.
Yes, it was. Unanimous ruling.
Well, go to AFN.net. You just scroll down a little bit, you'll be able to read this story. And that's the kind of thing that people can read. They're not going to find this probably on, maybe on Fox eventually, but you get this kind of news as it happens.
Where'd
basically
you get that?
At AFN.
Where'd you find out about that?
Associated Press had the story this morning, but a number of news agencies are talking
ignoring
about
it?
This.
Yes. Oh, they are talking about
it? Oh, they're talking about it.
Because they're criticizing the court, probably.
Yes. Well, in connection to this story, the Attorney General of the United States, Pam Bondi, held a news conference about an hour and a half ago. The Trump administration, through the Attorney General, announced this morning they're launching a civil lawsuit against the state of Maine. You may remember back a few weeks ago, President Trump was meeting with a number of state governors at the White House, and he talked about protecting women's sports. And the governor of Maine, who is a Democrat, got up and said, "You're not going to tell us what to do," paraphrasing there.
Right.
Well, what happened in the wake of this is that the Trump administration has announced that it's withholding funds from Maine's education system. Well, they're taking another step this morning. Even though the Trump administration did that, withholding funds, the Democratic governor of Maine, is still saying, no, we're not going to go along with this. We're going to fight it in the courts. Well, the Attorney General of the United States, Pam Bondi, took it up another level this morning. She's announcing a civil lawsuit against Maine with regards to their basically fighting what they believe, Pam Bondi and the Trump administration believes, is a violation in Maine of Title IX. So here's a little bit from the news conference this morning with Pam Bondi.
The message for the people of Gaza is going to be more of the message that should be sent to the people
here. That is not
here.
Pam Bondi.
Oh. No. Well, unless she's taking something.
She's taking some hormone blockers. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
Hormone enhancers, probably.
Yes. But,
anyway, that's not her.
That obviously wasn't her. Now, here's the other interesting thing. Since the news conference this morning, one of the school districts in Maine is defying the Maine governor. And Pam Bondi says they will be exempt from this civil lawsuit. So it's getting down to individual school districts. That's what we're getting to now.
Well, you know, if you're going to defy the federal government and Title IX, you can't, as governor, you can't be surprised if school districts defy you.
Yep.
So, isn't that right, Wesley?
That's right. You got it, Ed. I'm looking up this story right now as we're talking about it.
Pam Bondi, man, she is, her stock is rising.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned.
She's like Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's just like coming through all the time against all those jokers.
A blonde Batman.
Blonde Batgirl.
Yeah. On the stage with Pam Bondi this morning was Riley Gaines, who was praised for being... Riley Gaines had become the face of this battle.
Yes.
And she was there. And I tell you what, they also had some other women up. Pam Bondi had some other women at the news conference with her who have been affected by males pretending to be females in various sports. We've had it now in swimming. We've had it in volleyball.
Yeah,
people being injured.
Yes,
I'm surprised that maybe it has happened. I'm surprised that parents of these girls who have been injured in this aren't suing school districts. Suing, in this case, the governor of Maine, because their daughters are getting physically injured.
Yeah,
and they're being denied. And by the way, part of this civil lawsuit is they have to give the titles back to these girls who came in second place behind a guy. They have to give them those titles back. And one of the other things, we've talked about it before, these girls, because they're having to compete against men, are losing scholarships.
Yes.
This goes well beyond just a philosophical or even a spiritual argument. This goes to the point that these girls are being denied things. And I go back to the UK Supreme Court decision. Why aren't the feminists in this country taking up for these girls? And this is what hurt the Democratic Party in the election last fall. I think it was one of the big issues that the Democratic Party lost support. But right now, Democratic Party is not backing away from their stand of upholding, promoting men who say that they are women in women's sports.
I'd be interested to see how the WNBA would respond to this if they had, because they're about as feminist as you get, you know. So that'd be interesting.
My understanding is, I hope this doesn't come across as
judgmental.
Be careful. I could be wrong, but I've read stuff that there are a lot of lesbians in the WNBA. They may be siding with the T in the LGBTQ. Mm. That, you know, kind of staying in lockstep.
I would like to see that.
Maybe off the court, but that's what I'm saying. I can see where that would be true off the court, but then when you get denied on the court.
You're talking about if they were denied a spot on a team. Because a man
was got cut.
Denied a paycheck.
Yeah, no, you guys are exactly right on that.
Then
for every college kid or high school kid or a team that has a man on there pretending to be a woman, that's a spot that a girl would have filled.
That's right.
Even if it's a bench warmer.
This is an issue where just because somebody is lesbian, gay, or gay, doesn't mean they're in favor of this.
Like Martina Navratilova.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
And by the way.
But it would pit them against each other.
That would be.
People in the LGBTQ movement.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I mentioned that, is I wonder what would be like because of the high profile of the WNBA as it relates to other sports.
If you had dudes
who
said they were girls wanting to play women's basketball, and there is professional women's basketball and they do get paid.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted a man to do that, then I don't think that would be acceptable. The WNBA players,
you think maybe we would provoke the feminists,
even though a lot of them are, as you say, lesbians themselves, or that's pretty common knowledge. I don't think they would be in favor of the trans taking their jobs from them,
right?
And dunking over them, hurting them.
We have that Pam Bondi clip from this morning's news conference now.
Today, the Department of Justice is announcing a civil lawsuit against the Maine Department of Education. The state of Maine is discriminating against women by failing to protect women in women's sports. Pretty basic stuff. This is a violation of Title IX. The Department of Justice will not sit by when women are discriminated against in sports. This is about sports. This is also about these young women's personal safety. I've met many of these women throughout the past weeks and months, and what they have been through is horrific.
There you have it.
Listen, this sounds like a winner to me because the Title IX discrimination is, that's a real actionable offense. Uh-huh. And for for Pam Bondi to be saying that the Justice Department is going to be suing the Maine Department of Education for actively discriminating against women, this could wind up in the Supreme Court.
Contrast this with what Biden was doing. Joe Biden, the president then, he told states, you better let boys play girls' sports or we're going to take your money away from you. Remember yes. that one?
Under Title IX.
Yes. Yeah, same thing.
Yes. Because the Biden administration was insisting these boys and these young men are women.
Yeah.
And now you're discriminating against these women by not letting them play. The insanity on the left, to Fred's point, you know, harmed them in the 2024 election. There were obviously other issues that probably ranked higher. But for the Democratic Party to be doubling down yeah. on this,
yeah,
they're nutso.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this show on AFR. And where can people watch on the internet, Wesley, if they want to?
You can go to our own stream.afa.net. That's our own stream.afa.net. Or you can go, if you're wanting to watch, or you can go to our Facebook page. And that's Today's Issues Facebook.
Also, we're on YouTube now.
We are on YouTube. Today's Issues Live.
Until Today, Friday, and then you'll probably do something on trivia that gets you.
No, I usually trivia doesn't get us. Ed starts giving medical advice.
That's right.
That's what gets us in trouble.
Anything ailing you folks, just take ivermectin.
I'm covering my, you covered them up good.
Covered yeah, him up fair. And gets us in trouble. Yes. Tell us.
Hey, guys. Yes. I think this would be a good time to announce Friday, our plan for Friday, Good Friday.
We believe in it.
Yes. You're talking about for Trivia Friday.
That's yes. a good point. We're not yeah. going to have Trivia Friday this Friday.
Right.
But we are going to have Exploring the Word, which is the program from 3 to 4 Central. We're going to play their program, an Easter program, in place of Trivia Friday for that first hour.
Good to know.
And then that second hour, Ray Pritchard's got a special called Jesus the Cornerstone. We're going to air from 11 to 11:30.
Yeah. Our offices and studios will be closed on Good Friday. So as Brent said, and because it's a somber day, it's a day of joy, but it's also a somber day. It's a day of reflecting and remembrance mm-hmm. for Christians around the world. We're going to do these Easter-oriented specials on radio instead of Trivia Friday. Correct. And then a week from Friday, we'll be back.
Yeah, it's not right. a day to be trivial. Like you said, it is right. a joyous day, but it's a holy day.
Right.
And so it's not a day really to be trivial. And even if our offices are closed, we're not going to play best of Trivia Friday.
Right.
We're going to have Christ-centered
Amen.
Programming in that spot.
Amen. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Next story, Fred.
Well, probably when we come back,
okay.
we will have a story about New York Attorney General Letitia James. You remember when Trump was off for 4 years?
Yeah.
he became a victim of her, many people say, political nastiness.
Lawfare.
Well, it's come around about full circle, 360 degrees, because now New York Attorney General Letitia James has been hit with a federal criminal referral for instances of alleged mortgage fraud. Mortgage fraud.
The chickens have come home to roost.
Also, Trump announced he's putting a tariff on her.
Yes, slapping a tariff.
Slapping a tariff on her, metaphorically slapping.
Yes.
Tariff on her, so it's going to be double pain.
Yeah,
right there. We're going to be back, and we're going to tell you about this story. You talk about irony with a capital I.
Yeah,
we'll be back.
All caps.
More about that. Yeah, all caps.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Ed Vitagliano, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, Elise, by the way, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Fred, and Wesley. And Abraham Hamilton III joins us now. Abe, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
All right. So I'm looking here. Who said that? All right. Matthew McConaughey. That's his signature saying.
Is it?
Yeah. So, all right. You never heard that before? I heard it, but I've forgotten who said it.
Yeah, I'm not a huge – I don't dislike Matthew McConaughey, but I'm not a huge fan. Now, if you say
– I am.
If you say
– I'm like a huge fan.
If you say
– I got a poster in my office of Matthew McConaughey.
That's disturbing.
And then what?
But if you say, can't tell, then I know who you're talking about.
Peter Sellers?
Yeah. Did you know who that was?
I had no clue.
You've never seen any of the Pink Panther movies?
Movies? No. Cartoons?
Wow. I am old. I'm just really old.
You're moving down the road, Ed.
Most of the people that are alive in this country know nothing about the first half of my life. And what I watched and what I listened to.
I know, right?
Because where is everybody?
Well, they're out there. You can hear them roar. They just roar so loud, but their back just went out. So that's the reason they don't say
it. Well, that was too loud. All right, sorry.
I wanted to say.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know if I was rudely interrupted or maybe I interrupted myself. Today has to be the prettiest day of the year for a lot of the country, at least in the South. It is 74 degrees and sunshine.
This is also what old people do, Tim. They talk about the weather.
Well.
How's your knee?
My knee's holding up. My knee's holding up. Anyway, it is just stunningly, I don't know if you can have anything, but stunningly gorgeous. Stunningly gorgeous.
I guess that's okay.
Around much of the, I'm looking, there's not a cloud in the sky from.
It is beautiful.
From Houston to Boston.
From Houston,
from to Miami Boston. To Minnesota, there's not a. I hear Lee Greenwood starting from the huh. All right. So anyway,
well, I'm proud to be a pretty American. Day.
Are you proud to be an American?
Well, at least I know I'm free.
Yes,
he knows that song.
He knows that one.
That's that one. Lee Greenwood, his career came back to life when Trump.
Yeah,
Trump started using his song all the time.
Abe's doing the Trump dance.
Lee Green, that song, gosh, was that song's 40 years old or so, 30 years, 30 years old.
I don't know.
Proud to be an American. It's a great song.
I don't know how old it is.
I love the song. It's got great lyrics. Abe, stop doing that, please. It's distracting. Abe's doing the Trump dance over there, ladies and gentlemen. I know you can't see that on radio. But, all right, so.
Recorded in 83, released in 84.
So I was right, except it's older.
16 and 15, that's 41.
41. Mm-hmm. Wow.
41 years old.
41 years. What did Lee Greenwood look back in the day?
Young.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he looks a little older than you.
Just a little?
No,
now?
I didn't mean, huh? Did that sound bad? I didn't mean for that.
No, I don't. It doesn't bother me.
Okay.
I've been insulted all my life.
All right, Fred. We're about to talk about a story that is that is rich in irony, rich in irony. And this, Fred, why don't you tell our listeners who don't know much about this about who we're talking? Tell us what we're talking about here.
All right. The Attorney General of the State of New York is a woman by the name of Letitia James. You may remember that. Over the last 4 years, when President Trump was not in office, Letitia James was driven by what she even said when she ran for attorney general, that she was going to get Donald Trump.
Yeah.
She does not like
Donald. It was one of her campaign promises.
It was. Well, Donald Trump is back in the White House. And yesterday, Letitia James was hit with a federal criminal referral for instances, plural, of alleged moral mortgage fraud. First case, 2023. According to the allegation, they say that James falsified records to get home loans for a property in Virginia that she claimed was her principal residence in 2023 while she was still serving as New York State prosecutor. All right? So that's incident number one. Number two goes back to February 2001. James purchased a five-family dwelling in Brooklyn, but has consistently misrepresented the same property as only having four units in both building permit applications. And then another incident in 2000. According to the allegation from the feds, James attached several documents also showing that James purchased another property with her father as a co-signer, but falsely listed the pair as husband and wife in 1983 and 2000.
83?
Yes. So there are allegations going back that far.
Well, I know that I was reading a story, and I pulled it up on Fox News, where Laura Ingraham interviewed Jonathan Turley.
We have a
clip. Okay, all right.
All right, let's hear from Mr. Turley, a well-known law professor and contributor there to Fox News. Cut 10.
The irony is perfectly crushing. This is a person who prosecuted Trump for everything short of ripping a label off a mattress. As for James, if we apply the Letitia James standard that she created, there'd be little question here. This seems pretty straightforward.
All right.
Okay, so she, Abe, what do you think about all this? First you heard of it?
Yes. It is, and I saw the headline,
right?
But I didn't dig down into the details of the allegations. And
first of all, have you ever heard somebody running for office, especially in a prosecutorial position like attorney general, and you run for office saying you're going to get someone? I didn't even know that was ethical or allowed by the. I did not, huh? She ran for office in New York, and one of her among her things, these things I will do, get Trump. That was,
And New Yorker said,
yeah, well, it's a Democrat.
Yeah. No, never seen that before. I do think it presents some ethical concerns.
Yeah.
She
was also the one, excuse me for interrupting, who sat in the courtroom with her smirk and smile. The whole time, like she was personally overseeing the prosecution of Trump. What was the case there that she brought against him? Business fraud or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's
the valuation of
wealth.
Yeah, of his own resources in order to secure business loans, as if she knows better how much Trump's properties were worth. But another complete non-starter, and she's personally sitting in the courtroom. Now, I will say, when you have high-profile cases and you have prosecutorial agencies, sometimes the elected official for the agency will sit in on some of those cases.
Yeah.
But in this instance, it was clearly
grandstanding
and furthering of her political position in light of her campaign promise to, quote-unquote, get Trump.
So, who's bringing these charges against Attorney General of New York?
Well, no charges have been filed yet.
Okay, it's a criminal referral.
Referral, yes. It's by the Federal Housing Finance Agency Director William Pult.
That is a great agency. I read their stuff.
Yeah, their press releases.
I read their press releases. I watch their YouTube videos. What are they again? They what now?
These are, as Ed says, referrals that have now been sent to Attorney General Pam Bondi.
Yeah.
So they're recommending to Pam Bondi that they investigate this to see whether or not this is prosecutable at the federal level.
Now, just as a kind of a procedural question, Abe, so ordinarily I would think this is a state issue and the New York attorneys, someone in New York would have to prosecute it. But is this a federal issue because it involves Virginia as well?
And potentially mortgage fraud because you have federal entities that secure mortgages, also maybe the interstate potential future.
That's similar to what she went after at Trump home. Why the, you know, this is the old statement, you know, this is karma.
Yeah, and in that instance, you recall the federal Department of Justice declined any of those prosecutions.
Yeah.
So she scoured the New York state law to see if she could use any of it to get Trump.
If she did these things, claiming a house in Virginia as her primary residence.
Or representing her dad as her husband.
Yeah, if she did those things. Then
over
then
two decades.
You got to resign. I mean, you got to step down. I don't know. She may take a plea deal. That's what I think. But
all right, so let me ask you a question, okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a long just. So let's say the federal government does charge her with federal crimes, and she winds up in court. Do you think Trump shows up one day in court and just sits there?
Oh, that would be
hi, Letitia.
Yeah, I feel bad for you, Letitia.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think he shows up.
So sad. I bet Don Jr. will.
You might be right about that.
Yes.
So the person who sent this over was, this is one of those, and I guess the pun is intended here, but I got to say it anyway. People in glass houses don't throw stones. You see what I did there with the housing?
Yeah, I don't think that's a pun, but
it's a federal housing finance agency.
I see. Oh, that's nice. I like that.
And I said,
people who live in
glass houses don't throw stones.
Yeah.
Do you see the pun now?
Honestly, I don't see the pun, but I do like the comparison.
Fred, do you see the pun, Fred?
What? Clearly.
Okay. Are you putting on?
I don't think it's technically a pun. You know what? I don't. This is not a hill to die on.
No, I think it is. I think it's something we need to stop here and clarify.
Right, I'm looking up definition of pun.
You and I are soulmates.
This literary editorial investment.
But if you're going to say you don't see the pun, what I said here.
And this is why I say it's not a hill to die on, because you're going to do to me what Trump is doing to Letitia James.
I'm going to bring charges.
Yes. This is gonna boomerang.
You have a house in another county.
No fine pun charges against you. I say so. People just act like you didn't hear for a minute. Federal Housing Finance Agency is the one who brought the charges, and Tim said, "People in glass houses don't throw stones," and Ed says, "I don't see the pun there." So anyway, so. Listen, we'll see what happens here, but this is, if she did these things, she'll either be charged and go to court. I guess that's what he's asking.
Yep. Well, asking Pam Bondi to
do. Pam Bondi to do, or she'll resign. But, I mean, really and truly, the fact that she would do these things and think they wouldn't be discovered when she's at war with Donald Trump, who now is the president, who has the Department of Justice and – in his administration?
Yeah.
Anyway, I would say that's foolish. You know what I'm saying?
You talk about lawfare.
Yeah.
You do not want to go against the federal government, which I don't like lawfare. I don't like the idea of using the full power of the federal government to go after your political opponents.
Yeah.
However, in this case, I make an exception because what she did was absolutely wrong.
With her smirk and smile.
And what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
I'm going to get somebody. I'm going to get somebody. All right. Next story, Fred.
Wait, we got a guest here.
Oh, go ahead.
For a specific reason. But now he serves.
The floor is yours, Wesley.
Yes, we have an event coming up, the Biblical Bedrock, building on the authority of Scripture. It's our Activate Summit this summer. Other also known as a conference.
What is an Activate Summit?
Also known as a conference, and Abe is one of our keynote speakers. We wanted to invite him on to talk about it.
So. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm excited about this. Building on the authority of Scripture, I'm looking forward to adding my contribution to the conference and really pointing the attendees to the fact that the Word of God is trustworthy. You know, it's authoritative. We can bank on it. You know, there was a time where archaeologists as a discipline would conduct their digs in order to try to disprove Scripture. Then after decades of that proving futile, now archaeologists use the Bible to tell them where to dig, simply because of the quantity and the potency of the discoveries that have been unearthed that simply affirm and confirm the truth of God's word. And one of the most amazing things that happened in my own life as I navigated, you know, the historicity of the Scripture, it gave me a tremendous confidence in saying when I open the 66 canonical books of Scripture that I know this is in fact the Word of God. When you look at, you know, the history and the utter miracle it is for us to be able to hold the Word of God with all of the manuscripts and original languages and the things that have been confirmed over history, it is a miracle that God has preserved for our benefit. And so when Paul writes to Timothy and says that all Scripture is God-breathed and it is profitable, and it begins by identifying characteristics that are personally applicable, and then it then adds into characteristics and qualities that are externally applicable. And when you zoom out and recognize, Paul is saying this to Timothy in a time of intense physical persecution against the church while he is facing execution under Nero, and he's saying, yo, no matter what's going on with me, the word of God is profitable for rebuke. I'm in chains, but you use this for rebuke, you know. It is a heartening phenomenon, and I'm looking forward to being able to share that with the attendees at the conference.
Let me, before we tell people where they can sign up and then the deadline for signing up and a little more information, let me tie in what you're talking about with some scripture. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this also ties in with it being Holy Week and Easter this weekend. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. It says this, For I delivered to you of first importance what I have also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. That he was buried and that he rose on the third day in accordance with Scripture, and the appearance of appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, and of course James, it goes on to say
most of whom are still alive,
right?
Yeah,
and over 500 people as eyewitnesses too. Mm-hmm. All that to say is that we can trust the scriptures. It provides, and there's a place in Romans where it talks about how it's used for historical evidence too. Mm-hmm. And so, anyways, looking forward to covering these types of apologetical content at our conference. We have an adult track, we have a kids track that go simultaneously at the same time and coincides with the adult track, and so.
The kids aren't going to just be babies, get babysat.
No.
They're going to be learning.
They'll be learning. That's right. Kendra Knox, also known as Kendra White, who helped out with American Family Studios over the years, she'll be putting together the content for the children. So we know she helped out with Ryan DeFrady's. A lot of people are familiar with that. So you know what kind of
One of the producers.
One of the producers.
And the writer.
And she'll be doing the kids track. So the cost is $75 for ages 13 and up, and 13 and up will be participating in the main course, and then ages 6 through 12 is our children's track, and any kid 5 and under is for free. You can find out more at activate.afa.net. That's activate.afa.net, and Abe is one of our keynote speakers. Ed, you've been on some shows, and so we just wanted to let our audience know, our listening audience know, that up until April 18th, this Friday, there is a special, the special pricing ends after this Friday, so wanted you to know.
Sort of an early bird special.
Mm.
Yes, Alex McFarland, Frank Turek, Todd Herman will also be speaking.
Excellent.
In addition to Abe and I.
What's the website to find out more about it?
Activate.afa.net.
Activate.afa.net.
And we'll put the link up on our social media pages.
Okay.
For those that are wanting to not, if you're driving and you can't remember that, just go to our Facebook page.
I see where we've added speaker, Letitia James, for a session, a breakout session.
No, that's she's a panelist.
She's a panelist.
Panelist.
Where would she be housed?
That's a good question.
Which is still not a
pun. The motel. We're putting her up in the Motel 7. Okay.
Motel 7?
Yeah. Well, probably the Motel 5.
She'll be at the Hotel Shawshank.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Anyway, all right. So that's going to be a great conference this summer, and it's very
cost efficient.
Inexpensive. Yeah, in terms of conferences. Well, how much is it per person?
$75 for the weekend. That includes Thursday, Friday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I could mention this. I don't know if this hurts or helps us, but JJ's going to be doing his comedy skit Thursday night.
Oh, really?
I don't know if that helps or hurts. I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. JJ's a phenomenal
stand-up comedian.
Stand-up comedian. He'll be going Thursday night. So,
yeah, JJ's only problem is, his wife Melanie tells him he quote can't turn it off.
That's true.
So it doesn't. He's a stand-up comedian.
So she may not be there. But then
I know. Well, she'll be. She gets it at home.
Yeah.
The three jokes.
Being American family.
JJ has three jokes. He'll have three jokes, and then he has an incredible Rolodex mind.
Yes, he does.
Of comedy. He remembers jokes, quips.
If I say I like Diet Coke, he'll go, "Well, here's the deal." Yeah. And you come up with the Diet Coke joke
and he'll remember it. Yeah. He'll remember it. But Melanie, his wife, says the problem is he can't remember what to pick up at Walmart.
even if she takes it to him.
He remembers all the jokes, but he just can't remember simple things. So,
well, us being American Family Association, prioritizing the family, we wanted to have a family night. So when we sat down and thought about it, we thought, why not?
Yeah.
Have
Clean
comedy.
All right. You're listening.
Thank you, Abe. Appreciate you.
Dismiss Abe now. Abe, thanks for coming by.
All right. Well, you got 5 minutes?
We got it. Exactly.
Oh, you got something?
Minutes.
You got something else you want to share?
That's a JJ reference.
And we actually did have exactly 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
This won't take long.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Abe. Appreciate it.
He's referring to in the hallways here at AFA as we are walking the halls, moving from one meeting to the next or one radio program to the next. If you run into JJ the hall and he says, "You got 5 minutes," he usually wants to give you a joke, but the joke usually ends up being longer than 5 minutes.
Longer than. All right. Well, that happens to all of us as we get older.
Yeah. That's right.
We start talking and we don't realize how long we're
talking.
Going.
Yes.
You know, huh? Am I right?
We think the people we're talking to are having just as good a time as I am.
That's right. I remember learning this 40 years ago. We'd go, Allison, my wife and I, and we were young people then.
Yeah.
And so I'd go sit at her granddaddy's house, and then we'd visit with him, drive 2 hours, visit with him, come home, her grandparents. And then we'd go back like 4 months later to do the same thing over again.
Yeah.
And guess what he would do?
Tell the same stuff.
Same jokes.
Yep.
Same story. And I would just laugh again.
Yeah.
Laugh. Because,
What are you going to do?
You're going to tell an older man, an elderly fellow like yourself, Ed, that. he was like.
You didn't
I'm
mean.
Sorry. No, I did not mean you. No. Yeah. He was in his 80s, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm not going to tell an 80.
What are you going to do? You're going to say, "Hey, old man, you told me that last time."
Right. It's not funny anymore.
That's disrespectful.
The third time you've told me that. It's not funny. You got any more material?
Yes.
You're not going to do that to an 80-year-old man sitting in a chair. You,
Yeah. That's wrong. That's wrong.
That's wrong. So I didn't do. I just laughed. I laughed, and then I'd come back 4 months later, and I'd laugh again at the same jokes. All right, Fred, we got about 3 or 4 minutes here. You got a joke for us, or go ahead?
Well, funny you should put it that way.
But, see, that's a pun.
That is a pun.
I think
that's not a pun.
All right.
Joe Biden is back.
Oh yeah, baby, he's back.
He's back. He's back. He had his first,
kinda like the mummy.
Yeah, he had one of his first public speeches since he was thrown out of the Democratic Party. Let's be honest about it.
He doesn't know that yet.
He was. He spoke last evening at the National Conference of Advocates, Counselors, and Representatives for the Disabled.
Oh man, I was supposed to go to that.
Just humor me and repeat that one more time.
Yeah, let's come up with an acronym.
It is a National Conference of Advocates, Counselors, and Representatives for the Disabled in Chicago.
Well, ARC is the first part of it, ARC.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to get through this.
All right, what do you do?
All right, so what do you say?
He spoke there last night, and I tell you what, Republicans are afraid.
He brought the house down.
Yeah, Republicans are really afraid now. This is some of what he had to say. Cut four.
Republicans, where these guys are willing to hurt the middle class and the working class in order to deliver significant greater wealth to the already very wealthy. Who they think they are? It's never been this divided. Granted, it's roughly 30%, but it's a 30% that has no heart.
Yes. And more. Trump is going to cut Social Security. He went on to say that, too.
I want to talk to the chairman of the Speaker's Committee. For the conference. That's who I want to talk to. Huh?
That's a fair...
We got 340 million people in the United States.
You should let us have a little more fun with this before you go to that.
So who do we want to pick, everybody? Just be our keynote speaker.
See, we can get Joe
Anybody
Biden.
Anybody got any ideas?
I hear he's not doing anything.
Joe Biden. Joe Biden. What a great idea.
You know, that's somebody who doesn't want the job next year.
Right.
Picking this guy, and then next year they go, no, we're not, Dave's not doing it. He's not finding our speaker.
Joe Biden, you talk about bringing in a crowd for our convention, huh? He rocks.
Energetic.
Those Republicans are idiots, and they're divisive.
Now
what do you think that is?
That's an irony. I don't think that's
a pun.
A pun. Am I right?
You're right.
All right, we're going to take a short time out. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.